Good morning. Reading John chapter 18. John chapter 18, 33 through 38. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thou nation, the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for the cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And what he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find him no fault at all.
When we consider the words that just have been read in our hearing, they're serious words, especially the question that Jesus asked, what is truth? When we consider those great words, that great question, it's a question that ought to be asked even today. We have to ask ourselves, what is truth? When we consider truth, I consider truth from the scriptures. As it relates to what John said on one occasion in 1 John 2 and 21, there is no lie of the truth. Also, when we consider truth, we know that truth is found in the Word. Jesus said, Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Apostle Paul would say on one occasion in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 8, For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. We consider those passages as it relates to introductory thoughts. We have to keep in mind that the world in which we live in, well, they try to redefine truth. As a matter of fact, they would say your truth and my truth are two different types of truth. I want us to keep in mind that when we consider just the definition of truth, the definition of truth is objective, that which is not influenced by personal feelings or opinions, considering and representing facts. Jesus himself is the truth. John 14, verse 6. But we come to this pericope of scripture in John chapter 18. And in John chapter 18, we see some things that are taking place. You remember Jesus had just prayed to his Father. And he prayed to his Father that his disciples would be one, that they would have the same mentality, the same idea, based upon the same teaching. It's ironic that the Apostle Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10 that we should speak the same things, be of the same mind and of the same judgment. Also, when we consider in John chapter 17 in this great prayer, in verse number 20 and 21, Jesus would say, I do not pray for these alone. Now, these are the words of our Master, our Lord, our Savior, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, but also for those who will believe in me, notice, through their word, the apostles' word. But notice what he goes on to say in verse 21, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world, the cosmos, may believe that you sent me. God has always wanted his people to be one. God has always wanted unity. But friends, make no mistake about it. God does not want unity and diversity. He wants unity. He wants all men to speak the same things. And so when you get to chapter 18, as we look at the betrayal of Jesus by Judas in verses 1 through verse number 11, we find Jesus before the high priest. He's before Annas. After Annas, he is sent to Caiaphas. The very fact that he is sent to Caiaphas, he's been questioned there as well. Jesus says in verse number 20 of John chapter 18, I found it very interesting as I was recapping some thoughts for this morning, found a little nugget. In John chapter 18 and verse number 20, Jesus said, I spoke openly to the world. He's talking about the Gentile world there. I always taught in synagogues and in temples where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. I love that about Jesus. You ought to as well. That he spoke the same things about salvation, about eternal life, about God, to the Gentiles and also to the Jews, his chosen people, and to those whom the gospel was going to be going to, as Jesus was going to be a light unto the Gentiles. But then we find him before Pilate. And this is where our section of scripture, the pericope in which we have chosen to study on this morning, will begin. He is in the headquarters of the Roman government. He's before Pilate. He's being judged. I found this interesting that here we find Jesus in the judgment seat, or before the judgment seat, I'm sorry, before Annas, and now before Pilate on that last day when Jesus Christ comes back in the air. And he changes everyone, according to John 5, 28 and 29, Acts chapter 24, 14 and 15. Those very individuals that he stood before, they will then stand before him. I found that very interesting. And this is the God that we serve, but here we find Jesus Christ, and now he is standing before Pilate. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 31 and 32. Then Pilate said to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. You can put Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 19 in your notes. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying, indicating, showing by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the judgment hall, if you will, the praetorium, again, and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And then notice what he says here. Jesus answered and said, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and priests, chief priests, have delivered you to me. What have you done? That's interesting. They said, Pilate said to Jesus, what have you done? You must have done something wrong. Your own people, your own nation has delivered you to me. But then notice what is said. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not of this particular area, this realm, if you will. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Now notice this, friends, because this is where we're going to be taking our thoughts. Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. Literally, I was brought forth. And for this cause I come into the world, that I should bear witness, that I should vouch for, that I should demonstrate the truth. Now let's slow down for a second, because when we begin making application, I need you to understand that Jesus came for the very purpose of truth. Okay? Not falsehood. And how we started, there's no lie of the truth. We can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so it's about truth. It's about that which is free from error, free from falsehood. Notice, Jesus says that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Brother Scott, that's important. The implication there is that those who don't hear Jesus don't understand truth. The implication there is that when Jesus speaks, when one says, I don't believe that, they don't adhere to truth. But then notice what is said. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. When we consider the truth is what sets man free. It is the truth that we understand that will help us to live our lives in accordance to the will of God. I need us to consider some things because before we begin to explore some of the teachings of Jesus, and the reason why I said it that way is because this past week I heard some things from a neighboring preacher, and I'll call his name out here in a little bit, but I heard some things from a neighboring preacher that we ought to love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, then we're all in this together. Isn't that right, Brother Royce? I'm not lying. You got to love Jesus. Well, every single thing that we're going to talk about this morning is going to come from the very mouth of Jesus. And a person has to make up their mind. We, as members of the Church of Christ, must make up our minds that we're going to listen to Jesus. I'm not going to bring up the Apostle Paul, Peter, John, Mark. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I may use some of their experts in order to substantiate what Jesus had said. But friends, we're going to be talking about Jesus. And so when I consider Jesus Christ, we don't have to establish his authority, for God has given him all authority. Jesus said that, Matthew 28:18. We don't have to establish his position where he stands with God, John 1:18. He comes from the very bosom of God. We don't have to establish his deity, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. When we consider Jesus Christ, Jesus has some things to say. And so let's listen to Jesus. Since neighboring preachers want, and I'm talking about preachers in the Church of Christ. It says neighboring preachers say that we ought to listen to Jesus. Let's see if we can listen to Jesus in certain types of ways. In Matthew chapter 16, turn your Bibles there, as we take our time and look at some things. I won't keep you long. I'm going to be very pointed this morning. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19, Jesus is on the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He comes up to his disciples and he asks the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They come up with some names that are very powerful. Some say in verse number 14, you're John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Great names, great men of God, strong in the Lord, if you will. But then notice what Jesus has to say to them in verse 15. But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then notice what is said in verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say to you, now listen to this, that you are Peter. And upon this rock, upon the confession that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, notice what he says, I will build my what? My church. Now these are the words of Jesus. Scott Allen, the preaching minister at the Johnson Street Church of Christ, is in fellowship with denominationalism, full blown. Oh, yes, he is. He doesn't believe that verse. That's false. Friends, that's Jesus saying that. Not being mean, But as a preaching elder, I feel very responsible to at least sound the trumpet. You do what you want to with the information, but I have to at least sound the trumpet that if a man doesn't believe these words, he's a false teacher. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 15. These are the words of our Lord and Master. And we say this real nice, friends. But the gospel of Jesus Christ must go forth from the pulpit of God. Notice what Jesus said. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit, you will know them. Friends, that came out of his own mouth. This comes out of the mouth of Jesus. And I love to ask this question when I hear messages that are diametrically opposed to one another. I love to ask this question, who's lying? Is it Jesus or is it man? Brother Estes, it's always man. For in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4, Paul would say, let God be found true and every man a liar. Friend, that's the Bible. That's the word of God. And one thing I love about the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you lift it up very high, those who go to it, those who adhere to it, those are the people that God desires. Look at Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, we take notice of something from not only our Lord, our Master, if you will, but God himself. God himself. God rarely spoke. Isn't it ironic that when Jesus was on the cross, you didn't hear anything from God? Yet when Jesus was buried in baptism by John the Immerser, you hear God speaking. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Here in Matthew chapter 17, here we have Jesus and his three disciples. They're on this mountain high apart and he transfigures. He changes his form in front of them. He has this glory, the glory that he had in the beginning, if you will. And notice what takes place in verse number 3. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. Then Peter answered and said, Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us build here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Literally, we have Moses, the great lawgiver. We have Elijah, the great prophet. You can go to Luke chapter 9, 28 through 36, and they're talking about the way that he's going to die on the cross. He says, let us build three tabernacles. When we consider tabernacles, I want you to consider this. Consider places of worship, places for sacrificing, places for offerings, places for prayers to be offered. While he spoke, Brother Royce, God spoke. You don't hear God speaking a lot, but in essence, God is telling Peter, hush up with that foolishness. Why? Because Moses and Elijah don't need a place for worship. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. We listen to Jesus. There are too many trying to listen to mankind. Friends, we have to listen to the voice of our Lord. And as I was thinking about that, what troubled me is that I was invited to a preacher's luncheon. Invited. And upon that invitation, I go and I take Brother Brent, take Brother Royce with me. Hey, this would be a good opportunity to meet some of the brothers in the San Angelo area. I get there, and the man walks in. He has a collar, a Catholic father. I get there, it's a Methodist preacher there, a woman preacher as well. And you know what the preacher did at the luncheon, Brother Dennis? He says, I want to bless you all before you leave. Am I lying, Brother Royce? And he blessed them. And that man had the nerve to send out an email yesterday, pretty much chastising Brant, Royce, and me, that sometimes it's difficult to love some of the brethren. This morning I could not sleep as I was thinking about Isaiah chapter 5. Turn your Bibles there. In Isaiah chapter 5, and I want y'all to pray that God will provide an opportunity for us to speak face to face again. Because, friends, we get one opportunity to get this right. And the last thing you need is an eldership or a preacher that won't warn you of danger. The last thing a woman should have is a man that won't protect her from any outside forces. Amen. That's the last thing a woman should desire. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20, he fits this bill right here perfectly. Woe to those who call evil good, good evil, who put darkness for light, light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink. Here it is, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. He was validating them and not validating us. Friends, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. Go to Matthew 15, 13 and 14. Notice what the Bible here says. Here, Jesus has this to say. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, they both will fall into the ditch. Friends, these are the words of Jesus. Jesus is the one, God rather, is the one that planted the church in the world, Matthew 13. And the very fact that he planted the good seed, the church, in the world, he wants the church to be one, John 17. But then I have more to say as it relates to what Jesus has to say. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew 19. Jesus has something to say about marriage. God wants us to treat our spouses correctly. When we consider Matthew chapter 19, on different occasions, Jesus, and I'm talking about Jesus, not going to the Apostle Paul, not looking at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, not looking at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, but what Jesus says. Jesus has something to say about marriage in Matthew chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, Luke 16, 18, and here on Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. But notice what Jesus has to say. Here we have the Pharisees, and they're testing him. They're trying to trip him up. He says, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? And he answered and said to them, now this is Jesus speaking, friends. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them both male and female? Jesus sets the record straight even as it relates to homosexual relationships. No, he didn't make them male and male, female and female. He made them both male and female. Jesus sets the record straight. Well, you're not being loving. Jesus sets the record straight. Jesus did. We just want to love Jesus. Friends, if you're going to love Jesus, you got to love the Jesus of the Bible. You have to. Don't let anyone lie to you. Don't let anyone fool you. My heart hurts right now because of this. Because it doesn't have to be. We can stand for the truth. And if we begin a falsehood among the world, what do you think we're going to do with one another? Friends, let's think about this. Notice what he says in verse number 5. And I say, and for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God had joined together, let not man separate. God is the one that brings husbands and wives, or males and females, together. In holy matrimony, Malachi 2 and verse number 11. God hates divorce, Malachi 2 and verse 16. Then they said to him, verse 7, well then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And he said, now this is Jesus speaking, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning, it was not so.
And I say to you, whosoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Jesus said that. Friends, we have to stay with what the words of Jesus says. Let me give you something, some other things to consider. In Luke chapter 17, matter of fact, go back to Matthew 18. Look at Matthew 18. We'll use this one. In Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, Jesus teaches us how to forgive. How often shall I forgive my brother? 7 times 70. As long as he or she asks. You know, there are some that say, well, I'm not going to forgive even if they ask. Or they may forgive and say, you know what? You have to do this, this, or this for me in order for me to really accept your forgiveness. Friends, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, we're not going to read all of it, but he gives this great story, parable, if you will, of the unforgiven servant who was forgiven of a great debt. And he found someone who owed him far less, and he put his hands on his neck and he put him up in the air and said, pay me what you have, what you owe me. And so people saw that, and they went and told the king. And the king told him, you go get that man, you bring him here. And he cast him into prison because he was unforgiving. You know what Jesus teaches us? That we ought to be a forgiving people. Shouldn't we forgive? If someone trespassed against us, Luke chapter 17, 1 through 4, shouldn't we forgive? The answer is yes. I think sometimes, even as God's people, we want to hold things against people. No, if they ask you for forgiveness, forgive them. Let them go. In 1 John 1 and verse number 7 through 9, with the emphasis on verse number 9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive. The last thing we want is to go before God and say, Father, I've sinned against you, I'm sorry, and then have in my mind, well, maybe he didn't forgive me. Friends, if you ask God for forgiveness, he's faithful. He's just. He'll forgive you. And these are the words of Jesus. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Forgive. But then notice Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, we come across the words of Jesus again. I have this question in my mind that I'm trying to answer. And the question is why do men try to pit, P-I-T, Paul against Jesus? When Paul, he calls himself a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I'm listening to Jesus. I serve Jesus. He is my master. He's my Lord. He's the one that has given me these words. This is the Apostle Paul. And so we have men trying to pit Paul against Jesus. But then the Bible clearly teaches us in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5 through verse number 15. Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. It's interesting that sometimes you hear people, they'll stand before the people of God and they'll say, pray with me. Lord Jesus, we ask that you be with us. Is that correct? That's not what Jesus taught. You see? Well, who's to say I can't pray to Jesus? He's God, John 1 and verse number 1. He came in the flesh. As a matter of fact, when he healed people, they bowed down before him and they worshiped him. But this Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, the one that came forth from heaven in flesh, the one who was there in the beginning, the one that came to do the will of his Father. Notice what he says in verse number 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Do you know all through the scriptures you have men like the Apostle Paul, like in Ephesians 3 and verse number 4, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, we're talking about semantics. No, we're talking about order. God is a God of order. And just as man is head of woman, man, a woman is not head of the man, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so God has always been about order. You have elders and deacons and ministers and the members. God has all been about order. And so Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. But in this prayer, Jesus, how do you want us to be? Look at verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. Jesus, what do you want? Be sincere in your prayer. Go to God sincerely. Have your life right with the Lord. Let me give you a couple passages to substantiate this claim. The Apostle Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 15, I believe it is. It may be 14. Let's go there real quick. Notice what the Apostle Paul here has to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Here, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. My spirit prays. My mind. My understanding, my soul. That's interesting. When we go to God in worship, we worship Him in spirit and in truth. We use all of our senses in order to worship God. No wonder the Apostle Paul would say in Romans chapter 8, verse number 26, as it relates to the spirit and how the spirit is groaning within itself, and how when we go to God in prayer, it is the spirit is our understanding because of all of the stress that we're going through. We can't seem to put words to it. Well, some would say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. But it's not, because it's man that groans. The Holy Spirit doesn't groan. The Holy Spirit speaks clear words, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. But Jesus says, pray. How often do we pray? Go to Matthew 23. What is truth? Pilate asked that question. What is truth? Friends, as Brother Brent Stubblefield said on last week, as we have been saying all the time, we need to study the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 23, can you imagine? Now, if you listen to some of these guys, they'll say that, well, we shouldn't have to correct anyone. I mean, if we love Jesus, then we shouldn't confront no one either. It's interesting, the same ones that say that are the ones that rebuke the ones that are standing up for the truth. Now that's interesting. But look, in Matthew 23, seven times, friends, seven times, Jesus pronounces woes on the scribes and the Pharisees, and Brother Royce, what do he call them? Hypocrites. Brother Mike, you're just being mean. Brother Mike, you shouldn't say stuff like that. My question is this. Are we not servants of Jesus Christ? Yes, as we adorn the doctrine, as we make sure that truth is being prevailed, notice the words of Jesus. In verse number 13, he says, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for they neither go in yourself, nor do you allow those to enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers, therefore you will receive a greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice. Now notice what Jesus says. You make him twice as much the son of hell as yourself. People, a lot of us ain't reading the Bible. Scott, those strong words. Can you imagine calling someone the son of hell? Jesus did. Well, he's God. He could do that. If a person will stand against God's people and stand on the side of the enemy, friends, that's the son of hell. Now, those are strong words, and someone may not like it, but it's still truth. It made me think about the book of Obadiah. Brother Royce and Sister Tony and I was talking about this yesterday. You remember when the children of Israel came out of Egyptian bondage, and the Edomites would not allow them to pass through the land? Not only did they not allow them to pass through the land, sister, but they even attacked them. These were the brothers, the cousins of the Israelites. They attacked the people of God. Here, the book of Obadiah, God takes care of this some 400 years later. I bet you they thought God forgot about that. One thing that God doesn't do is forget about when his people are being persecuted or his people being downtrodden. No wonder the Bible demonstrates to us, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will what? I'll repay. God says, I'll take care of it. But then notice what he says in verse number 16. Woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Look at verse 23. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Verse 25, same thing. Verse 27, same thing. Verse 29, same thing. It's interesting that this is the Jesus of the Bible. He's not this mushy Jesus that some people are preaching. He is the real deal. And friends, it makes sense to me more so than ever that few be there that find it. Question, are we looking for the real Jesus? The real Jesus is in this book. You can read about him in this book. He's in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, but we got to get in this book. Because if not, we'll allow false teachers who may look like good men, but anytime a man stands against God, friend, there's nothing good about that. But I want to leave you with this. In John 14, notice this Jesus. These are Jesus's words. We even have some in the church today saying that heaven is going to be on earth. But Jesus says something different. Jesus said this, friends. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go. Jesus, where are you going? I go to prepare a place for you. Doesn't sound like here. But some of our own brethren are saying that when Jesus comes back, he is going to refurbish this earth. He's going to restore this earth. He's going to renovate this earth. But Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go and the way you know, and where I go you know and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You know what Jesus is teaching there? He's teaching hope that if we remain faithful, we're going to be right where he is. And friends, this may have stung a little bit for some, but I need us to consider what people are saying around us. And it's unfortunate because I've asked myself this question too. We have allowed the school systems to dumb us down, dumb our children down. We have our faces in these gadgets all day long. We're on video games all the time. We're playing all the time. And I ask myself this question. After you get us where you want us, then what you gonna do with us? The church is an educated people. And that's why in order to come to Jesus, you have to be educated first. John 6, 44 and 45. In order to remain in the church, you got to keep on being educated. 2 Peter 3, verse number 18, grow in the grace. You got to keep on educating yourself. You got to keep on learning. Keep on growing. Keep on knowing. Why? Because the devil is trying to blind us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. And if we're not careful, we'll allow Satan to blind us. Our children will grow up. We have worked all of our lives. They're 18 years old now. Where did all the time go? Friends, spend time with your children. Teach your children. Help them to distinguish truth from untruth. Help them to distinguish holy from unholy. When you come to worship, teach them how to sit down and listen. Why? Because this is God's house. This is God's worship. And friends, the truth is being preached. You gotta listen to it if you're gonna apply it. And some will say, Brother Bonner, that just sounds mean. Let me tell you what hurts. Depart from me, I never knew you. Your work of iniquity. Now that hurts. You know there is someone dying right now outside of Christ. Right now. And this guy here has the audacity to say, we're all in this together. Friend, that's false. Y'all can fire me if you want to, but I'm going to always speak against that. Because that's wrong. It's just as wrong as allowing a pedophile to get off. It's just as wrong. It's just as wrong as allowing someone who got drunk and killed somebody, manslaughter. It's just as wrong. It's just as wrong. And I would be wrong to know something about that and not tell y'all. Well, Brother Mike, how long have you known about this? Oh, about 3 or 4 months. And you're an elder? I don't want to be over there. So I'm letting you know right now, it just happened Thursday, the day is Sunday. You're on notice. You know somebody going over there, you better tell them. That ain't right. It ain't right. The truth will set us free. But it ain't our truth. It's his. Maybe you're not a child of God. Let me tell you what Jesus says about that. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus said that. You know what that man said? He said, sprinkling, pouring, it's all the same. Royce, am I lying? I'm telling you, he said that. But Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Somebody's lying. Either him or Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That man lying. And so, Jesus also said, if you remain faithful even to death, I'll give you the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. You leave it to some of these guys, you don't have to remain faithful. Once saved, always saved. That's false. The Bible's right, y'all. If you're not a Christian, you're not a member of the Lord's church, Church of Christ, you need to be thinking about this. You want to be saved? You want to hear well done? You want to live a good spiritual life and die and go to heaven? You need to be baptized to have all your sins washed away. You're not going to ask Jesus in your heart. You're not going to be sprinkled. You're not going to be poor. You got to be baptized knowing the gospel of the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ. And when you obey that, God will do something amazing in your life. He will save you. Only thing you got to do is remain faithful. And time is out for gospel preachers to be worrying if they're going to hurt somebody's feelings. I'm worried about hurting one person's feelings right now. His name is Jehovah. I am so afraid of him. I don't know what to do. I hope you are too. And that fear ought to cause you to love him and keep his commandments. Maybe a child of God and you haven't been keeping his commandments. Maybe you've been compromising. Well, maybe they got a point. They don't have a point. There's no point in a lie. Your husband or wife, they're either faithful or not faithful. That's it. That's it. If they're not faithful, they need to get faithful. Your children are either faithful or not faithful. That's it. We're either faithful to God or not faithful to God. That's it. Let's be faithful. And let's not put up with stuff like that. That's wrong. And if you don't believe me, YouTube, Johnson Street Church of Christ, and you'll see all that crazy stuff that they're doing over there. They even have a little girl praying. In worship, Dennis, a little girl. Now, you put that in your mind and think about that.
A little girl praying?
Where have we gone?
As we stand, as we sing, say this invitation.